Welcome to episode 15 of the Sign Radio Show. In this episode, Axel and Aki discuss parties coming back because I'm on holidays. Flopine joins us to talk about live coding. And finally, we ask for your help.
Welcome to the Sign Radio Show, episode 15. I'm Aki.
I'm Axel. Hello.
And that's it, because this one is on holiday. So it's the two of us this time. We hope he has a good time. It's a well-deserved holiday. He's a bit the man of the busy year. So yeah, you have to do it with us.
Yeah, he's getting the higher wages so he can take more holidays from us, right?
Yeah, exactly. So so he'll be back in the next episode. But for now, it's just you're going to have to do it with us. So yeah, what's going on?
There have been some parties lately. Yeah. Have you been attending or actually following some of those?
I've been following a little bit. I saw what I liked is that there's some parties happening, some parties, like actual parties with people meeting up again are happening. It's slowly, we're getting to that point that's possible. We had QB party in Hungary and of course Underground Conference hosted their party. I heard these were successful endeavors of hosting a safe and responsible party with people. So very jealous of those people to be hanging out. But yeah, it's very promising to see this happen now.
Do you know how they're doing it? Are they using the COVID certificate thing or how?
Oh yeah, I think testing. I'm not entirely sure about QA party, what was mandatory there, but I know that for Underground Conference, everything was outdoor. It was open tents and they did testing every day and they had a very rigorous schedule to keep it very safe. So yeah, absolutely no effort spared. And I hear the Deadline is now also planning to be an IRL party in Berlin. Where they indeed do mandatory, you have to be vaccinated to go in for everybody's safety. So yeah, but it's slowly we're getting to the point of testing out the waters for IRL meetings, and it's a promising future ahead of us, I hope.
Yeah, let's hope that we can continue that path.
Yeah, because online parties as well, we had unfortunately Boozodrome, the tied into assembly Gabber competition at Boozembly every year, had to happen online this year because the weather on the hills was so bad. So we had that would happen as well. Go to boozodrome.com to check out the last release, Boozodrome 4. It's very good. I'm absolutely not affiliated with Decadence. And Evoke is coming up. They're doing an online thing. It's the Evoke substitute. So yeah, we have some online stuff still happening. But yeah, the times maybe are changing. So let's hope that we can all meet up soon safely. Again, once more.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Will you go to more parties then?
No, not at the moment, but I plan to finally make revision at some point.
So know when it's happening again. Will you be attending more parties? Revision next year, maybe?
I think it's, yeah, revision could be an option next year, yeah. So hopefully that's going to be possible. So the kids are old enough now to not bother that much anymore about Easter, so...
I'm free to go. Revision is a fantastic place for children.
Yeah, well.
Well, actually, there are quite a lot of children. Actually, there. I'm giggling about it, but it's quite fair. But yeah, no, if they're not interested in it, they might get bored.
Yeah, we'll see. I have to make it one day.
Yeah, we'll love to have you to see that because, yeah, it's a special beast as it is. And I can't wait for more parties to start. I really hope Revision next year. I hope maybe end of this year. Who knows what's possible. But it's good to see it happen.
Yeah, people... trying to find solutions right now.
Yes, the craftiness of the demo scene. We will never surrender. But yeah, let's see. I'm really looking forward to see more endeavors and to see it all roll out in the coming times. Hopefully when the numbers get better as well over the board. And then some sadder news is that we've heard that Karushir of Da Capo passed away. So that's always sad. It's always sad to find out that we lost one of our own.
Condolences to his family and friends and everyone who knew him personally.
Yeah, I met him at Evoke, ran into him. I didn't know him that well, but he was always very enthusiastic, very friendly guy. So absolutely will be missed. And indeed, our condolences to the family and the people that knew him well. Yeah, always tragic to have that happen. Be safe, people. Be careful. And But yeah, we have a very exciting episode ahead of us. After the news out of the way, we have a guest that we're gonna interview about live coding and the demo scene. Are you excited about it, Axel?
Yeah, because we've been mentioning the topic for a couple of times already with Shader Showdowns and all that, and you being a very big fan of those Shader Showdowns. So we had to get into this topic, and so we asked Floppini to join us today, which I'm really excited about. So that should enlighten my horizon very much.
Because you don't know that much about it. So for you, it's going to be a lot of questions.
Yep.
So I say, let's get to it. So I'm very excited. Our guest this week is Floppini. She is a coder and a graphics artist and a 3-time finalist and 1-time winner of the Revision Shader Showdown. She's part of the Cookie Collective and is currently writing a PhD thesis about her artistic practice as a shader coder. So welcome, Floppini.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Great to have you here. It's very interesting to have you here because we touched on live coding a couple of times already. And just so you know, I have pretty much no clue about live coding, and Oki is your big fanboy here. So we're going to have some completely different worlds that we're going to ask questions from probably. But maybe to kick things off, how would you personally explain live coding to someone who doesn't know much about it?
Me neither. I don't know anything about live coding. I would describe it as a performance with code, the same as you can do an artistic performance with your body or with painting or whatever. And live coding in itself can have many forms, like in the demo scene we usually do shader showdowns, but we try also to do what we call shader jam, which is basically the same without the competitive aspects. That is for the demo scene, but also live coding can be done with music too, so you can compose your track in real time, live in front of an audience with code, and that's what it is done within the Algorave movement, for example, creating mostly by Alex MacLean. And that's it, like you're in front of people and you're having fun coding sounds or visual or both. jamming, it's really fun, but with code for nerds.
And the jamming is, compared to the Shader Showdowns, a different rule set, or there's no rules? So, or is that just given a time frame for that, or how does that particular work?
So for Shader Jam, usually you have the time of the set, and no rules, so you can come with a bit of code already written, compared to a Shader Showdown, where basically, as a competition, it's a one versus one, like the classic Shader Showdowns that happens. Right. It's a one versus one battle between two coders, and you have 25 minutes to code your visual effect on screen with GLSL or HLSL, and you have to go on stage without code already written and without cheat sheet and just what you have in mind and give it a go.
Right. And those 25 minutes, do you think that's enough, or how did those 25 minutes actually come up? I mean, why not half an hour? That would make more sense.
I actually don't know. I know that it's originally from a demo party called We Can in Poland. I don't know why the 25 minutes per se. I would argue that 30 minutes can be great too, but you can have two different problems, time problem in a Shader Showdown. The one is wanted to do something too big for the 25 minutes and ended up with a half-made shader, half-made effect. Or in the contrary, you can come up with your idea pretty quickly and an image which is already complex, and if, for example, you still have 5 minutes to go on the 25th, and you think that your image is done, can be a bit difficult to still show new stuff to the audience. So yeah, the time management in a shader showdown is something quite interesting, but not the easiest part, to be honest.
To add real quick about 25 minutes as a very practical reason as well, because then you can do two shader showdowns in an hour and you have some time to build up and build down. And it's also about attention span. Like, people will pay attention for a certain amount of time. If you make it too long, people kind of drift away. So it's that kind of like two showdowns per hour. Is that kind of, and that's kind of like, okay, if 25 minutes, you have 5 minutes buffer. That was a very practical reason for it as well.
Okay.
And how do you, when you said you, it's difficult to structure these parts within the showdown, how do you go about when you're in a compo?
I usually tend to think about an idea a bit before stage and an idea that can be improvised on during the match. So the first part of the competition is obviously to write down the function you will need later on, because you have nothing. So let's say the 5 first minutes can be a bit bothersome. But you write your remarching loop if you want to do remarching. You display a sphere or a cube or something that helps you test everything else, like does your normal are good, if you need normals, etc. So like a basic shape. And that, if you're good at typing fast and you know what you're doing, you can achieve that in maybe 3 minutes. And then after that, you build up your word. I have a tendency to be the one that like still have 5 minutes at the end, and I'm like, yeah, okay, this image is good, but there is still 5 minutes, so what can I add? And then in my mind it's just, oh no, gosh, I have no time to add that. Oh, will I achieve this effect or not?
Okay.
And yeah, sometimes it works.
And did you ever have a what do you call it, that you felt blocked during a compo, when you said you had no clue about how to move on from a certain part that you were working on? Or is that what is also so challenging, that you're not running into such a being blocked in your mind about what you're going to do next?
I usually have quite a lot of ideas. I don't want to sound like pretentious or what, it's just that I have fun. So when I have fun, I like, oh, maybe I can try that. And then the stress comes in. So it's more about fighting against my own mind and my own fear of not succeeding. But what can be quite a huge stop, at least to me, but I guess other people can experience that too, is that if you have a clear idea of what you want to do, and at some point you compile and you have an error and you're like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. I was sure I was doing the right thing. What? And then it's usually a silly thing.
And is the fear of failing actually something that is coming to your mind often when you go to on stage? Or is that something that you completely block out when you go there? I mean, you're super exposed in this compo. It's like you're the only person on stage. It's not like a group effort or something. It's just you going face to face against someone else. Is that something that is also scary?
On stage, this feeling is less present. I have trouble with online competition, to be honest, but I know that it might not be like a shared feeling. I think some people feel more comfortable about not being on stage and being able to still compete but behind a screen and a keyboard.
Right.
And for me, the stage is the place where I feel free of those fears. So yeah.
Right. How do you experience that on stage when you're there with them commenting on everything there, and how do you experience the people that are working on these productions or in this compo?
Yeah, it's people underestimate how tense it is on stage and how scary it is to be there. And I think it also that vibes for the programmers on stage to produce. And I sometimes am unhappy that the crowd is not reacting enough. I feel that the crowd should shout and should shout names and like be really rowdy about who they want to win. But a lot of people just sit and watch, and you try to kind of like keep them like, hey, just it's okay to let them know that you're there, because if you're on stage, you can't really see that well in the crowd as well. So it's but people underestimate how difficult that is. And I think that online you miss that vibe, definitely. And you have no idea.
I would get silly distracted. I mean, when you're coding there and you go like, people cheer you, like, go for supporting Flupine and or others. I would be silly distracted by that. Can you still focus when there's a lot going on in the background?
It makes you present in the moment. Kind of like when you sat at home and you're in front of your computer, maybe, I don't know, you hear a fly buzzing on your window and you're like, when you're in front of a crowd cheering, whether it's for you or the other opponent, I don't know, it feels like you're in it and you're given energies, which is really super great.
Do you remember when you were on stage for the first time, and was that any different from how it is now when you go on stage?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I always think that I want to. I'm running behind this feeling that I will never experience again. But yeah, it was life changing. It can sound weird because, like, okay, it's just going on stage at a demo scene, so it's like, yeah, okay. It's not like being in a movie or something like that, but to me, it was life-changing.
Oh, no, it is just transcendental. It is. Don't underestimate it. Being on any stage is always a little bit terrifying and a little bit out, getting yourself out there. And I think you're right that the vibes, because I see you especially vibe a lot with the crowd and the DJ. It's a really important aspect of it. And I can understand when you're at home, it's just like, you know it's happening, but you can't really see it or feel it, and that's different, yeah.
I still want to point out that I'm super happy and thankful for the people who still make it happen, even if the situation is complicated. It's like, and also it brought more people into it, people from Canada, from United States, from South America and things like that. So,
Yeah, pros and cons there is indeed we got the good thing also was that we got IQ to participate at Revision in a jam, and it was really fun. But yeah, the live aspect is definitely like, it's a different thing.
How do you see that? Do you reach new people through the Shader competitions? Like you said that you have people from Canada and US participating. Is that, are those people from within the scene already, or that you're reaching these people that would not have known about it beforehand?
I think both. For example, the winner of this year, Black Hole, she already done things in the demo scene, like maybe mostly Exe, 4K Exe GFX. And I think a community was built a bit around, like an international community was built a bit around the Shader Showdowns and the live coding aspects in general. Some of those are regular viewers of my stream, Evil stream, etc. And some of them already were participating in other compo in the demo scene, so maybe it's 50-50 or something like that.
But those are specifically people that are already interested in the Shader Showdown thing, or would you say that there's also a possibility that they participate in other aspects of the demo scene? Because I think we will get back on the discussion really about whether that's good or bad for the demo scene later on, but maybe, what is your experience from talking to these people? Is that people that you think would or will be doing more in the demo scene apart from Shader Showdowns as well?
I think we all share the same passion and the same envy to do more, always to do more. And we kind of share the same vision of being in a compo means that we, in a sense, send support to a demo party. the aspect of being in a category is already supporting the demo party, right? Because then the category wouldn't exist without entries. Mm-hmm. But we also have our lives, like everyone. For example, if I take my case, I know that I would love to do more. I would love, for example, for NEVOC to put like one or two entries or even more, but unfortunately, my lack of sleep and time prevent me.
When we go back to before a demo party, for example, like if you're 2 weeks ahead of a demo party and you know there's going to be a compo, how do you already start having thoughts about what you're going to do there? Or is that still a phase where you're not really involved into any preparations for the compo?
You know, what I like about live coding also, about compo that are live and have time limits, is that it's not about putting a huge amount of work at a high speed. Being good at live coding and performing with code is a time-to-time effort, you know, like each and every day, once in a week if you can, or things like that, type code, do a shader. It's a slowly but regular path. And I think I like that more. I like this kind of practice because I have a tendency to be a bit impatient. And working on the same thing for like 2 weeks, I can't. I'm not sure I can do that. So
so it's perfect for people with short attention spans, both in the audience and for the makers as well.
Yeah, it's really a regular effort. You have to commit to it, you know, on a regular basis and everything will be fine.
But practicing, you would say, is very important, that you're fast enough then when it counts.
Exactly, yeah. You can be super slow when you're on your own, but then maybe 1 or 2 days before, you can try to type things in under 25 minutes and then see if what you did regularly sticked enough to be quick about it. Maybe, but yeah, you can't be a genius without work. Like all the geniuses from video games, artists, etc., are people who commit to their work every day since maybe 20 years, 30 years. So yeah, that's work.
But it's interesting, as you said, like you have to type fast. It's an exercise in basically like a sport, like a strength as well. Like you have to learn how to be agile and quick. So would you say, is it an art or a sport in that aspect?
I think Shader Showdown is a sport. And Shadow Jam and other form of light coding is art.
What's the distinction there?
I think I have a tendency to see art as practice. When I'm on stage at the Shadow Showdown, I'm not in the mindset of practicing. I'm in the mindset of doing something quite tiring in front of an audience to win. This aspect, maybe I would say that this aspect of having brackets and this competitive mind makes it to me a bit less on the artistic side and more on the competitive and sports side.
It's a problem people have said about demos as well, because it's always a competition aspect. It's like, is it art? Can it be art if it competes? Like if it has a merit of winning? And it's the same, I think, for Shader Showdown. It might be even more, like even when shaders are not even capped after the battle, like it's all gone after the battle. So it feels like you did an exercise in something and you won, and that's the sport effort instead of the and for a Shader Jam, you have the feeling it's more. The time is free?
Yeah, I would say for Shader Jam, it's more on the artistic side. It's more like doing VJing, which is super great too. I really love to do that. And to me, it's... if you want to think wider, we could say that every form of practice in art is a sport because it evolves the body.
But, I think it's very esoteric of what is sport and what is art and what is what is entertainment even. Sorry. There, like, is it gross, just like you're coding on stage, is it entertainment, is it just pleasing the crowd? Because that's also, we're going to talk about it as well, about how the voting happens, and it so it has that aspect of indeed, like,
but yeah, Shadow Jam are more chill and it's more like doing VJing. And about what you said for demos who are also inside competitions, I think it's, to me, it feels a little bit different. I see where the parallel can be made, but demos, you can enjoy them for what they are without the competitive aspects. A shadow showdown round after the voting, maybe it's not that interesting.
Is it the merit of the shader itself? Like, it's as an outing of creativity, because it's just as, yeah, because a demo might have, but it's still in a competition, so that has been that problem of like what part of the demo scene itself is a sport and what part of the demo scene is the art, and many discussions for many decades of like what consists a winner. Like, it's and a crowd voting and what is that aspect there. But I think for shaders themselves, they have merit. We have Shader Toy, we have people, and you enjoy shaders in a different way, you say, like after the round. Because do you keep your shaders?
I keep everything, but sometimes I forgot to put them on Shader Toy, and I'm sorry for that, because I root for open source.
Oh, fair enough, so you want people to see as well what you did, so...
Yeah. Yeah, but it's not the Shader Showdown, it's the product.
Yeah, so you recreate it. You don't copy it from the shader round.
Sometimes I do, but in a performance, the moment, the present, is part of the art too. You know, if you think about it as an artistic performance. And when you look at the shader on Shader Toy after the competition and you were not there for the voting, You can still enjoy the shader, but you can't feel the performance in an artistic way aspect of it.
Does the content get preserved most of the time, or is that a small number of shaders that get released from those compos?
I think many organizers keep the code because, for example, maybe not before, but when it became online competitions, Nusen coded a Bonzomatic version. Bonzomatic is the software that we use on stage. He coded a version of it which is on online Kendo, like work with a server that get the code from the participant and from any kind of PC. If you have the name of the server and the port, you can grab the code and execute it on your side. So every shader that happened online means that every organizer, if they don't delete it, have the code of every participant on their PC that displayed the competition. So
the version also is the reason why online Shader Showdown is even possible. It's fantastic work there to get that done.
Yeah, and Alkama opening his server anytime. Those two are such amazing people.
Yes, keeping that alive during the dreadful times.
And did I understand it correctly? The voting is limited to the people in the hall, and that's the same for every compo at the party? Or would you say that is a good thing, or would you also want to have people vote, I don't know, through points? Or is that the cheering the main thing that is why it's so great? Or would you say the compo could also be getting points in the normal voting process of the other productions? And would you prefer that?
It's an interesting question. It might not be the feeling of everyone, but I really like the cheering kind of voting. I really don't care if... I saw some people telling me on finals, like, oh, you should have won. You had more cheering and stuff. But, you know, it's already... intense to receive so many love at the same time for your work. That and when it's point, it's good too, and it's more fair in a way. Like it's not a referee that needs to hear and say, I think this person had more cheering. Mm.
It has been issues. There have been issues, definitely, that it was difficult to hear, because if I can chime in as a host, I sometimes had to make the call standing in front of the stage. It's terrifying.
I saw you in the 2018 finals when you guys were discussing.
It's on us, because we have to listen well enough. And at one point I heard D-Fox was like, from the grand organizers, then it's even different. And so there is that thing, as I think, to lock into what Flopin said about it all being a whole performance. It's a whole thing, and the shouting is part of it. It's part of that, creating a shader, receiving that feedback at the moment when it's done. That is the way you decide your winner. But it's really difficult, and people also indeed say, like, for technical merit, like, sometimes people just vote for a crowd pleaser, which is how do you feel about that? Like, if somebody would do something cheap to win the crowd over, it's allowed because that's the way it is. But
that's also an interesting question. I was thinking maybe to go back a little bit, a way of maybe making the cheering a bit more fair is might be to have like this kind of a decibel
meter thing.
Meter.
We talked about that. and having, I think I had the people from Ninja Death were really happy to make a live, like we had a microphone and they could make a live website that would just grow with the sound so you could see. But that we've been talking about actually making it more fair in an aspect of, like, you don't trust somebody's ears. And then we always have our benevolent judge, Havoc, who uses wrestling rules. So at the end, he just, like, we make a call. And he makes a call, and he's big and tall, and people will not question him. But it has been, and I don't think is that right? Like, is that the right way to vote, or should we indeed have, like, technical merit? Because you can change your vote during the whole round as well. It's usually live voting. Mm-hmm. We did live voting. Oh, for online, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Online shader showdowns are done by live coding, and people get to switch for 25 minutes between who they want to win.
Yeah, you can give 5-star to someone, and then 2 minutes before, just change it to 2, for example, and giving 5 to the other because the other turned out the situation or things like that.
So we can bring that to demo parties, but I don't think, indeed, you're right. Like, will it actually be better for the shader show now?
I think live on stage, like in a real, let's say in Everk, to talk about revision, I think it might lose a bit of this aspect of cheering. Mm. Like, because Nova, for example, I think Nova did that even on site, live voting with points.
Right.
And then people already put their votes on the website. So, like, the cheering part is almost in existence.
It's redundant. But would you feel like people on the stream, for example, because now people in the hall, only people in the hall can vote. And if we would do, like, for example, revision, but most demo parties now opening up, like, for stream voting as well. You could get more votes,
And you could also give weight to the audience in the hall a bit more than, like, the ones on. I don't know.
Yeah, you could. Would that be fair? You think?
I think if we open the vote to people that aren't on site, I think we shouldn't weight points. Because it's basically saying, oh, you can't afford to be there, so your what you think about the compo is less valuable than the other. I think if they have their vote key, they should, vote key for people who are sofa sinners, and why not? And to answer your previous question about crowd voting, like the crowd-pleasing vote, it's also a skill to be the crowd favorite. Maybe it's more on the social skill, the soft skills, but I think it's not something that should be shamed.
So if you would lose to somebody, like you did a technical impressive shader, because that's that problem always. Like, it's technical impressive, people don't really get it, and somebody did something really funny, and they win, and then.
You know, I often lost against kiffs, and those are the simplest fractals to put in a rematcher. So I often lost against something I consider technically super easy to come up with. So
yeah, where does that lie in the whole aspect of Shader Showdown? Because it's also a technical merit, right?
Yes, it's also technical, but sometimes, like sometimes a huge part of the crowd doesn't know how difficult it can be to put out this effect or this effect. Like, for example, in a remarching, doing domain repetition and filling up the screen with a load of shapes is super easy.
Yeah.
And but it's impressive. The image can be impressive. So, but we can't ask the crowd to be aware of the balance between an image that is difficult to achieve technically, but maybe is simpler in the composition aspect, and an image that is complex in the composition of the frame, but is quite easy to get out technically. So
then you would need a jury like to weigh that, and the other half would be a public vote or whatever.
This has been talked about, like, do we do weighting technical skills versus crowd pleasing skills and just visual, like, crowd skills. And that's also difficult because indeed, like, somebody can do something. It always was that fleeting when it started aspect. If we're doing it in a now, and the person that manages to win wins. But how do you feel about that when you lose against somebody that did something you think like this was actually an easy win?
I bite my cheek and within 1 hour, I just don't care.
Right. I think that's the best way to approach it. But yeah, it's also an aspect. We have several aspects to this that are difficult, I think, that you have to give a place.
The first time I went on stage in 2018, I think I just wanted to have fun. I didn't thought about winning, actually. I just wanted to be on stage and have fun and be proud of myself. So I worked on an effect I was proud of at the time. Yeah. And that's usually how I handle my Shader Showdowns even now. And if the crowd isn't pleased, at least I did something I am proud of. So, And even if the crowd didn't vote for me, usually they are super excited in a general way about the compo. So it's all for the best, in my opinion.
I think it's the best approach to take, because it has that. I think maybe that's even the most important part, is just the having fun part together.
I would say that, yeah. But I know that some people also like the aspect of wanting to win and being competitive at a higher level. And that's fine too. That's how they have fun. So
and that's also something that's very demo scene as well. And it was always the thing, that's that competitive aspect. And maybe that ties in as well, but like in the demo scene in general, like it always seems it's difficult in a demo scene to do something by yourself. Like if you do a one person entry, we have competitions for just single things, but that's usually different than the bigger compos are the productions, and then doing something alone. Do you think was that a gap? Like was Shader Showdown that gap that could be filled by somebody going like, I can do this by myself. I can go to revision and participate in a meaningful way.
I think, but you're never alone in a Shader Showdown. Like you have the DJ, whether it's online or not. And the DJ is a big part of the show, at least to me.
Yeah, but that's all there. Like you can just come and you know you're going to be part of that thing. And maybe that's a smaller gap than, oh, I have to create a production for a party and we have to sit down. And
I don't know, because like a lot of people I talked to or wanted to talk to me about the performances I did on Showdowns, they usually say to me that I'm brave to go on stage, and I answer them that I found that easier. I found this part easier than working on something for months and ship it.
Like, yeah, so that's the difference there, like for a demo scene production, is that you actually get more stressed out if you would make something together with a team and present it at a party. You rather just practice a lot and get it over and done with?
Yeah, definitely. I would be so terrified. Like I did some compo. Like I entered the 4K compo at Evoke once, and the PC demo compo at VIP and Evoke, and even revision. My first revision, I entered the PC demo compo with X-Men at that time.
Yeah.
We did something like super dual and ugly.
No, X-Men productions are awesome. Like I'm a big fan. We need those.
Oh. Yeah, if the engine is still on lightweight, don't count on me. But I was just so proud that we come up with something, and that was my first time, and it gives me the feeling of being a student again when you have to dive into like a project in 1 week or something like that. It feels like that a bit, and I liked that when I was a student, and I missed it a bit. So my first revision was the occasion of doing something. But then again, I think I approached it with the idea of just doing something and having fun by doing it. And we placed last, obviously. But
it's also very and always undeserved. But
I just want to add that it was also great because we were shown first, and we know that it means that you usually last, but a lot of people laugh at it, and I think it brings a mood to the compo.
Breaks the ice.
That's why I love X-Men demos. We have a lot of demos and we need these demos that break the ice or that do something fun. And I think that order, but it's a completely different discussion, demo compo orders. But so would you say is live coding is easier for you than making a demo? You prefer doing live coding?
Yeah, definitely. I think there are some technical aspects that aren't there. Like for example, if you want to do a 4K, your code needs to fit the four kilobytes with the music, and I don't know how to compose. So usually I have to ask a musician, but then I'm a bit stressed about not using his or her work at his best. And I'm so stressed about that.
So that is for you. It's easier to indeed just participate alone because it's just you and you can do this in this. The Shader Showdown is this one thing you participate in. It's only you. You don't have to please. A musician is always just happy to give music. Like there's so many musicians. You can probably get music and they're happy to just hand it to you.
I think so too. And I really want to work on something like on a compo, I would say. I almost say a real compo, but Shader Showdown, our real compo. But I think that's something I want to change. Maybe after my PhD is finished, I think I would love to maybe do less showdowns and more compos.
Right. So it's like, and again, a PhD is a lot of time. So I guess that needs to be done first. But yeah, so there is that, you have that appeal of like making a demo, but it's way more daunting to you than participating in Shader Showdown.
I'm so tough to myself, and I will never be pleased about what I do. In a showdown, you just have 25 minutes, so you can say, oh, whatever, it's 25 minutes. When you're working your ass off on a demo, I'm the kind of person who'll never be satisfied, never.
You turn it in and during the compo you'd walk away because you couldn't watch it on the big screen.
Maybe. Yeah.
I've seen sceners do that, actually leave a hole when their entry was on because they were just so overwhelmed by it. So is it something that you feel like, yeah, that's the buildup would be too high?
Maybe not at that point, but maybe like if I pair with a musician and we watch that together, I might be like that. On his or her shoulder, like, oh gosh, no.
Because people can't see this. It's a podcast, so it's just people kind of like hiding away behind their hands. Like it's that.
Oh yeah, sorry.
but yeah, so it's very interesting take is that you have less problems with stepping on a stage and live coding for 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Even that everybody would think that would put you way more in the spotlight and would be way more scary than enter something on a floppy disk and just sit in the crowd and hide. But no, that's more scary.
Yeah, it is. I don't know why, but in my mind, the screen is bigger.
Yeah, which it isn't, but you can see it when you check the shortcut coding. You can't see the big screen. Is that also a part that helps, that you can't see the screen?
Well, I if you remember when it was at on site and I was on stage, I usually turn around to see the other people's shaders.
I've seen you react to the other person going, "Whoa!" Like, that was that's also really cool. I think that's a live aspect of where the people see each other's shader, and everybody's always really supportive. Like, I think that's always that vibe as well. Like, in the end, the winner matters and doesn't matter at the same time, which is the very demo scene vibe as well. But yeah, no, it's very interesting, your take there. Thank you for sharing that, because people would absolutely think the opposite.
Yep, I would have expected the same thing, like the completely opposite, because I think it's much easier to work on something at home and then just, you know, upload it and no one knows it's by who it's done or something. But going on stage in itself is already a scary thing. And then performing something there, and I saw that in the 2018 finals at Revision, you were like completely shaking your head towards the end because you're apparently like going back on watching the screen and you seemed not happy. What is going on there?
I wasn't, but I will not lie. I love being under the spotlights.
That's fine. You don't have to apologize for that. I mean, we need people to perform. And as you said, like, as you see it as a performance, I think that's the most important take from this interview is, for you, it is a performance of a skill you do for people. You'd sit, you made something, it's there, you wait. But do you think, is there transferable skills that you have for demo making? Because you made a 4K. Like, did you take stuff from the live coding, or did you does it help?
Yeah, I think it helps, because in a 4K you have to condense your code, and if you know how to condense your code, you can type it quicker under 25 minutes. Like this, some months ago I started a series, I've never finished it, but a series about code golfing, for example, which is the action of taking a code and making as small as you can. And I tried to make codes that fits in one tweet, for example, and it really helps me with the mathematic aspects of what I was doing too, because I had to minify the mathematics to the code, okay, but the math too, and it helps me understanding a bit more what I was doing. And on shader shutdowns now I can type, like, if you compare my code today and 3 years ago, I'm using a lot more of defined, for example, because I understood that in a defined, you can, for example, for domain repetition, when you use a define instead of a function written directly, you can put as an input any kind of variable, float, vector 2, vector 3. So in one line, which is a define, you can do three different type of repetition domain, for example. And that's a huge time saving, both for 4Ks and also 4Ks, it's a time saving for size.
Yeah, but that is something that you've even learned because of you were doing a 4K, you had to optimize, and it actually is helpful for your shader showdown coding.
Yeah, definitely. I would advise to do both. Or maybe some 4K exe GFX if the aspects of having animation and sounds scares you. And there is also an awesome community around it, around 4K exe GFX. And you also have a nice website made by YX, executable.graphics, and things like that. And it's also an awesome compo.
Because do you think, like, in the demo, for demo making, like at large, for the demo scene at large, as we talk about what it was, like, do you think, is it representing the demo scene in the same way, like, of how people started? Do you think, like, is it like the Shader Showdown, because it's like we get scenes around 4K graphics and 4Ks, and do you think, is there a risk that people might think, oh, this is what the demo scene is, it's all that size coding and shader coding? And
I think that's a risk, yeah, that people might think that it's all about shader, but it's not.
Did you ever get approached by people that saw your stream and didn't know about the rest of the demo scene and only think about, like, edit shaders?
Yeah.
And how do you approach that? Do you bring them in, or?
Yeah, and usually they are quite, they are quite happy to learn that there is more, And I think even if one risk is to have people that think the demo scene is just shader showdowns and maybe 4K GFX, and they, if at some point they ask the question, I think people will have attended, like demo sceners will answer, oh no, it's not the, the only thing. There is that, 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 that. Just come to a demo party. It's awesome.
And we just scoop them up.
Yeah.
Which, because do you think, is there productions, because you made a 4K, is there more shader people that you know that started basically shader showrunning and started making productions?
Well, LJ.
Yes. Oh, yeah, of course. But yeah, I don't know if it's like, is it a common thing, but there are a few indeed of people that are actually have been making productions, usually in the size coding. But
Ponk, in the Cookie Collective, Ponk made one or two 4K or maybe a bit more. And he was also a big part of the first batch of Cookie Collective, who organized a lot of Shader Showdown in Paris bars.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So that's a Shader Showdown basically start, but then actually started participating in making demo scene productions as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's the thing, is that the demo scene was always meant to be so collaborative. We talked about it before, and she said, like, I'd rather fly solo because I'm afraid to disappoint everybody, which is, you're really hard on yourself there. I think people would throw music at you.
People throw music at me in the past, and I've never used them, and I feel so guilty about it.
Yeah, so that's the thing, is that back in the day, maybe it was different, Axel, for us, that we were just used to being disappointed as musicians. I was. We never use your music. Now, what do you think will be the cultural effect of live coding on a demo scene itself? Like, do you feel that the scenes might actually, as you said, like, there's websites for 4K graphics, will it splinter off? Will it maybe even bind together more?
I think having, like, I'm part of the people who think that having more compo, having more people into it, different kind of people, will always bring more inclusivity and more diversity.
Yeah.
And more diversity means that you have more chance to reach different audience. So to bring more people eventually. Even if those people start to think that the demo scene is just that or that, well, at least they are there. And if you're nice enough, they will feel like asking questions.
Yeah, so you feel that they will, at one point, they will make entries. Like, it is a natural progression, you feel, that if people will come in. Have you seen that happen with people you brought in, maybe, or how you got brought in?
Yeah. I think I got brought by someone in the demo scene. I would have never known about that without that person. So, and also being a bit on Twitch too. Like, I know it might be a forbidden word demo.
We've discussed this before.
Okay.
It's fine. Like, it's a platform, and yeah, don't worry about it.
Okay, I think having some shadow coders on Twitch is also a good way of bringing more people into it. Even some, I think I heard one or two people at least who were in the demo scene previously, like maybe in the 80s or things like that, and start to feel a new appeal to it.
Right.
With the showdowns and with the shadow streaming. And maybe those people in 1 year or two will participate again.
That's after a whole new group of people that retired and came back through Shader. Oh, this is the demo scene is still happening. Wait. The thing is, like, yeah, so Shader Showdown, I remember when it started, like, Weekend did it first, and that was Bonsai's tool. And then we started doing it. We did a try revision. Like, oh, let's just do this thing. It might be really cool. And it was especially Chaos at that time, who was super enthusiastic about it. And he was going, I'm going to comment for as well. And, like, we need to do this. And everybody was kind of like, okay, we'll do it as a fun thing and see if it works. Mm. And it did. And what do you think now? Like, is it taking over? Are there people now? Because back in the day, it was like, oh, the fun thing to kick off Friday and have the final on Saturday. And then we have the real demo party. How do you think that is? How did that evolve, in your opinion?
Like, I already had some people telling me that their look at the streams, like the demo party stream just for the showdowns. I'm sorry for over competition, but I heard that.
Yeah, so that is also kind of like, as demo scene, as we talk about the demo scene in general, it's that is sad that they just tune in for the Shady Showdowns. We would wish for them to stay on and watch the rest. And yeah, do you think it will be indeed more front and center? Shady Showdown is the main event and the Compass will be the side event? Or you think?
I think people will just organize what they want and what they please them. For example, in September, you have the Love Bite Battleground thingy. And if I remember correctly, it will just be bite battles. No other compo will be.
No, it's just bite battles and Shady Showdowns. And I think they're going to try to do everything.
Yeah. So is it a demo party? In my opinion, it is. It has compos, people entering them, voting.
It's just changed. Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Like, I think it's we're just a bunch of old men going like, but what is the demo scene?
And you know, there are a huge history, if I'm correct, of demo parties that are just around one platform or around old school.
Yeah, so
why not the same thing for live battle?
No, definitely. Mm. I think that there's a space for everything, but it's not for the traditional demo party.
Mm.
And it's very presentable, right? To the audience that uses Twitch, for example, it's a very presentable format for such a platform, right? For the streaming audience. Would you say that is a different kind of audience as well?
I think, for example, Shadow Showdowns are maybe closer to a creative coding community, like the one who made maybe processing stuff, P5GS, thingy online. I think those people can easily be connected to Shadow Showdowns a bit more than an Amiga compo, for example. But it doesn't mean that they can't have an interest for it a bit later, maybe.
Mm.
But if you zap into a Twitch stream and it's two programmers coding live on stage, you get like, oh, this is, if you zap into an Amiga compo and you have no idea what it is, you go like, what am I looking at?
Yeah.
If you don't know what it is, you go like, what am I looking at? And that might be that connection is easier for a Shady Showdown because you get, oh, this is two people and they're on stage and they seem to code live. Mm. Bing bong. So what do you
so
think?
Easy.
Yeah. Well, and then we have voiceovers explaining what people are doing. Do you think that's helping actually? The people that are doing the voiceovers?
I love that. I love that in the past, in the showdowns that happened quite recently, people who commented with the main commentators were people who know what happened. I think it brought a new aspect to it. And I thank you for doing that.
Yeah, we need that. It's because I know more and more now after 5 years of Shady Showdowns, but I can't code. So having somebody in there also really enthusiastically explaining what is happening, and we had a few really good people doing that, like also being able to convey it, because that was also hard, because we had indeed we had Chaos do it and he loved it, but yeah, he found himself going like, but you have to convey how awesome it is so difficult in words.
It is so, it is your job as a commentator and making people enjoying the show is really tough.
yeah
Do you have visions for that, like where it could go with different framework or different technology, or is that something that you're missing in your Shader Showdown compass?
I think having to respect a theme on some showdowns might make the accent of improvisation rather than like typing the huge amount, the most code you can, and maybe you learned it or whatever, like teamed Shadow Showdowns can be quite fun. But also, I really love participating in Byte Battles because the size coding limitation is really, really fun. It's stressing too, but it was some kind of a breath of fresh air to me to code in Lua with a different mindset for coding.
Yeah, to quickly explain, we talked about it before, but the Shader Showdown is in a shader, and a Byte Battle is in a custom fantasy console called the TIC-80, which is very low level. And in having 25 minutes to program, you also have 256 bytes to fit in. And your bytes start at 512 and they count down, so it's an extra layer of stress. I find them incredibly stressful as a commenter. And I can't imagine how it is like a coder, because you have two things to keep in mind, and make an effect in 25 minutes.
It's super fun, really. I thanked many times Super Rogue for bringing me into it. It was really a breath of fresh air, as I said.
How different was it compared to the regular Shadow Showdown for you?
Being a three times finalist and one of the winner can also be like can bring a blockage, kinda, because you have this feeling of people waiting something from you. And it was like with the time it became a bit less fun to me.
You have to perform because they expect you to perform.
Yeah. People expect me to dance while coding. When it was on stage, people expect me to put out something incredible and colorful. And with Bad Battles, I was just like, I kind of got this feeling again of just having a sandbox and being allowed by the crowd to just play with it, even if it's ugly, even if it's low level, which is something I don't really have anymore in Shadow Showdowns. It might be like just me thinking that people mm-hmm. wait things from me and they don't. I don't know, but that's my mindset about Shadow Showdowns today. So.
Yeah, no, I can imagine that it is indeed at one point you've performed and people expect, oh, Floppina's coming up, it's going to be amazing. Where in the bite battle, it was like, I've never done this before, and it gives you that like freedom again of like messing around with it.
Yeah.
Which is also kind of tragic if you're like, I don't want to Shade of Shadow anymore because I have to up myself every time. I think it's why LJ stopped.
It's tiring, and LJ yeah. won twice, so I think he had nothing more to prove, you know?
Exactly, I have nothing more to prove, and maybe that's also okay that people at one point, but we don't want you to leave, like, don't get me wrong, but I get what you're saying, is like, it also has been in the demo scene before with groups having made demos and people expecting that their next demo will be better, and like, we don't have the freedom to make whatever we want anymore. I think a lot of the bigger demo groups in name have to struggle with that because... Oh, it's our name on the screen. It's probably going to be amazing. Like, what if it's not? Like, what if we just want to do what we want to do? So yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, I guess it happens everywhere.
I can't imagine the mindset of conspiracy guys when Clean Slate showed on screen.
One day we'll get Gargay on the show to actually for an interview about that, but not soon.
Yeah.
but it's Conspiracy had it. Farprouch had it like a lot after the popular demo, a lot after Debris, which why Chaos loved showing Fireform 2 at the end of a revision demo compo because he voiced that sentiment of like, no, you're not getting what you want. We are doing our things. Mm-hmm. And you should do that as well. And need to feel like that understanding of like, no, I have to perform now for the others. I have to dance harder, code harder, be better.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's fun. That is exactly the opposite we talked about before. We're like, I'm doing this for fun. So yeah.
But maybe I just need a break and then... But I can't wait to go on stage again. I think I also missed that.
Definitely soon. And finish your PhD as well, because that's also important for...
You know, if Revision 2022 happens on site, even if I'm writing my PhD thesis, I will be there.
You will still be there. We really hope it will. Like, you can't say anything in this world, in this day and age, but hopefully. But yeah, tech-wise, it's actually fun. How do you see Shader Showdown tech? But you were like, it was actually fun that the tech was a lower tech in the Byte Battles, because that gave me a clean slate. So do you think that higher tech, is there more possible now in shaders that we haven't explored yet?
I think, yeah. I was amazed by Black Hole Works this year. As soon as Gaogai added the possibility of getting the previous frame on Bonzomatic, people already come up with ideas about it. Like Cosa Mentale did a fantastic trail thingy, super, super clean. And Black Hole made simulation on the Shadow Showdown, like you just have 25 minutes and she made like a reaction diffusion simulation within the shader. That was amazing.
The shaders were insane. I think a new Shadow Showdown participant, as new as in last year, I think in the COVID times, joined mm-hmm. us because from Canada.
Yeah.
And could join us because of the online aspect, although she went to revision, so next year maybe everybody can participate on stage. Yeah,
I hope, but yeah, she won, and thanks to the online version, because I'm not sure she would been able to go to Germany. So
yeah, indeed, was the winner with fantastic shaders. It was great rounds we had.
You gave us some really great insights into this whole area, and for me, 90% was new to that. So thanks for giving me those insights, and was very, very great to see you being that honest also regarding your own, challenges and
yes, absolutely, your,
desires and fears that you shared here. That was really great to hear you on that.
My pleasure.
Thanks a lot for that.
Yeah, thanks a lot for sharing, because it's an interesting the mindset of like what drives you and what scares you into that. You know, I think it's cool that you were so open about that, because it's also for other people maybe to go like, oh wait a minute, sounds actually less scary then, or maybe it's okay.
It's really fun. Do it.
Exactly, that's the most important part. I think we should end with that. Like, it's always really
that's
fun.
That's a good note. Yeah. So thanks for being here. It was lovely having you here.
That was really, really enjoyable talking to you both. So thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Pleasure is all ours. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All the best. So this was actually really interesting to me. So I was glad to hear all these insights from Flopin. How did you feel about this, Oki?
Yeah, it was wonderful. I'm happy. I hope that indeed you learned a lot. I think it was very insightful. Little chat about differences and also the similarities of the old school part of the demo scene and the newer part of the demo scene and how they fit together, and they do fit together very well. So yeah, if you're interested, go definitely check out Flopin's Twitch stream and all the other shaders, Shader Showdown participant, all the other programmers that she called out.
Next thing I'm going to check out is those shader jams that she was talking about, because I need to know more about these. I want to see some of those.
Yeah, they happen at parties sometimes, and there is indeed that Love Byte event is coming up in September, so that's going to be also very exciting.
Yep, really interesting episode, I think, so far, and time to wrap this up, probably.
Yeah, we have one more thing before we go to the wrap-up, is because, we promised a year worth of episodes, like 12 episodes. We're at the halfway point, I think, some a bit more. So there was a call that Gaga and Gloom were actually started line up again, this whole thing got us together and started producing this. We're signing up for these 12 for a year, but they will step down afterwards, because this is like, as they have, as we talked previously about people doing a lot of things, these are people that are doing a lot of other things as well. So we're actually going to do kind of a poll. Like, it's the standard is set, like how you do a show, and they have all kinds of knowledge to share, but yeah, it's a great response from the demo scene. We had a lot of people enjoying it, but yeah, we haven't really seen people trying to get involved, and I think we would like that. We would like people that can help us progress or move on this podcast.
Exactly. So if you think you can help us with either editing the podcast after recording, or if you can help us prepare a podcast, help us with topics that we can cover, or any ideas for interviews that would be interesting, so, and then please get in touch with us. As we said many times before, the best thing will be via the Discord, the Sign Radio Show Discord that we have, or the signradioshow@scene.org email address. Just hit us up and send us a note if you think you can contribute to this podcast, which would be great, so we can move on. Then at the end of the year, when Gloom and Garga would like to step down.
Because else it will stop, because we'll try, like we love to continue, but it's a lot of work on a lot of people, so we need some support. It would be sad if we had to stop it after a year. So if you feel like, hey, I can help out, please let us know. Hit us up in any way. Indeed, designradioshow@scene.org. That is Z-I-N-E, radio show, one word, @scene.org. Or in our Discord, we could, any help we can get is appreciated. And it's like, it's a very early notice, because it's only, we're still going to do a few episodes, 4 or 5, at least 5, 6. But yeah, when at that point we're going to stop, and previously we had Vincenzo help out. So it, we can also, yeah. So if you're listening, Vincenzo, we'd love to have you back. But also, yeah, if you want to add, we can build on what, Gloom and Gargai, have created and have set up, and they probably are willing to share some of their tactics to other people. But We would love to keep doing this but we need that support. Like, we don't do this ourselves. It's not just Axel's support and me. You need to prepare topics. You need to prepare flow of an episode. So any help there is much appreciated. Please let us know if you want to help and give these guys a break after a year of really hard work, because without them, the show wouldn't be the show that it is. So yeah, that gets us to the proper outro, I guess, is send us feedback. Please send us the things, questions for a Q&A, things we should touch, things you feel are not covered enough. We have this format to do a deeper dive into things like we did today with the Shader Showdown. So, and shading coding in general and how it is standing related to the demo scene. And we would love to get topics to discuss things or that you think we should touch on, and you want to be, if you're an expert on something and you think we should interview you, please let us know at signradioshow@cinema.com.
The show was hosted by Aki and Axel and was produced, mixed and edited by Gluman Gargai. They're currently touring the globe trying to incorporate Amiga as a religion. Special thanks to scene.org and scenesat and bitfellas. And if you like the show, please share it with your friends and give us a positive rating as well. That helps every time. You can find the Sign Radio Show on scenesat as well as Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. So any final words, Aki?
We are waiting for your feedback, but I think it was perfect. Thank you, everybody involved. Gargai Gloom, Axel, it was a good one. See you next month.
Yeah, see you all. Bye.
Bye.
Nej, jag tänkte bara, vi kör precis som det ska vara.